is he here?
He's here. He's here. He's running to give his shiur somewhere, but I. He wanted my. I gave him my new book, and we grew up together. We only know each other 80 years, 70 years, 75 years. My brother was so scared. Okay, let's begin. I have a world to do. Very fascinating material, and you'll see. I'll quote Reb Heschel later. First of all, today is Sunday. It is December 8th. Wow, time is flying. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day 2019. And I'm happy, well, we have a full class, and all those listening across the wide expanse of the Jewish universe. Coming back to something I said, in relation to last week's Olam Katan, so they asked Rav Eliyahu, can you trust Hechsherim from Chutz Laretz? And Rav Eliyahu says, absolutely not. So, Mori Tarigan was Malamet Zchut, that means he can't trust the labels. Lezayef is the word he uses. So I want to tell you, I checked it out at my minyan where they're native Israelis. I didn't tell them anything. I said, what does this mean? And they all agreed with me, it means you can't trust it at all. But Jack told me a story that proves my point, that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, that's the father of Shmuel Eliyahu, who's answering these questions. Ari, when you go to Shul here Shabbos, you get a lot of freebies. So you gotta, I know what I have to look at because this my grandchildren look at. So my great-grandchildren look at already. So I have to be prepared to answer. So Jack told me a fabulous story. Mordechai Eliyahu, which is my brother's family, part of his family, a very large part, they're all disciples of his, was speaking, and you know, when a speaker speaks, you need a drink to wet your cords in there. What do they call them?
Vocal
cords. So they brought Reb Mordechai Eliyahu a bottle of water, and he didn't drink. Afterwards, they asked him, Rebbe, why didn't you take a drink? He said, that bottle is imported. Probably was Italy. They import from Italy. And he said, I don't drink anything that's not made in Israel. So I stand in my pshat. I want to mention in relation, I got a shaila, which I just want to relate to. A few years ago in a small Ashkenazi minyan of Seretz Zion, we began having pre-bat mitzvah girls be the chazanit, the sing on his mirrors. Sometimes solo and sometimes with other children. At a certain point, before they reach 11 or 12, they stop doing it. On their own, parents or rabbinical advice, I don't know. I want to tell you, I'm very opposed to this for one simple reason. A human being is a result of habit. And if you take a little girl and you teach her to sing on his mirrors, and then when she turns 12, you cut her off, some of these girls are going to wake up at 18, 19, and there's going to be another branch of Shira Chadasha. In my humble opinion, a girl, you teach her to light candles, etc., everything we've spoken about, but I wouldn't encourage, she's a chazanit, al tanai. In Shira Chadasha, they're chazaniyot, not al tanai. Kabbalat Shabbat, Psukei Dezimra, Leyening, etc., etc. So I just want to mention, that's what I answered, but I feel very strongly about that. In regarding to driving to Shul on Shabbos, the whole story with Atlanta, Georgia. So once again, Rabbi Jeff Francis wrote to me my Talmud. He also mentions he's no longer in the rabbinate. He went to Atlanta in the rabbinate in Chinuch, and he winds up in business in Atlanta. But he describes the whole situation in the shul. By the way, Rabbi Feldman Sr. says that the parking lot was in fact never the subject of the conversation with Rav Ruderman. Well, I can only say I was told when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, that it was Rav Ruderman who told them, you know, very quietly, if you have to keep the parking lot open, keep it open. You're not responsible for what people do. But he describes the whole problem here, and there was no place to park. People were giving giving tickets to cars that were parked illegally. And today, Shabbat, the parking lot is filled, but it's all cars that came before Shabbat. So if anyone's interested, you can read the whole history there. I want to quote a young man named Dr. William Gewirtz, who happens to be sitting here, related to Rabbi Michael Hecht and others on the YU scene. Again, Rabbi, they don't know who Rabbi Hecht is already. Time marches on.
And
you're related to Ari Berman, Rabbi Michael Hecht, correct, ties in. And also the new person in charge of the Smicha program,
yes,
Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. That's your son-in-law, Kanayin Hara. So I'm quoting the letter. My cousin, Rabbi Yonah Gewirtz, who has a real Yatn Yatn Smicha from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, told me that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein valued the Aruch HaShulchan over the Mishnah Brura. So that's already in Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin also had that opinion, and here you have another Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Gadol Mirabban Shemo. This letter continues telling a story about the Rav, where someone threw a Mishnah Brura at the Rav, and wasn't overwhelmed by the Mishnah Brura. So that's what I told you. We had that same experience. And halacha l'maisa, you got to remember, the Rav is from a different generation. We grew up already. In my time, I remember as a kid in high school, I went through word by word the Mishnah Brura. I always carried the Mishnah Brura with me. Remember, Rav Aaron Kotler would come to a wedding, Rav Aaron would carry a Mishnah Brura with him. But all right, the Rav was brisk, Rav Chaim. It's a little bit before the Mishnah Brura. Not that the Rav is younger than the Chafetz Chaim. I'm not that stupid. But he grew up in a world that was pre-Mishnah Brura. Today, you notice if they republish the Chazon Ish, you have the Piskei Mishnah Brura at the bottom. If they republish the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they have the Piskei Mishnah Brura at the bottom. All right, very, very fascinating. Let me go a drop further. Jack asked me an interesting question, which I can answer very quickly, about archives. How do you approach archives? Archives are opening, and today, for instance, the Vat Hatzalah archives are available, Yeshiva University. Rabbi Young's archives are available. I did my work basically out of two suitcases that Mrs. Rebel was ready to throw out, and Rabbi Dr. Bernard Levinet, Dean of Bernard Rebel Graduate School, known to me as Bernie Landa, called his Rebbe's widow and said, I'm sending you a mail, may I have a doctorate, what do you have for him? And she said, oh, I'm glad you called, I was ready to call they lived in a hotel, the Broadmoor Hotel, 102nd, I believe, in Broadway, and an old hotel at the time. And thank God it wasn't thrown out. So you see, when you get archives, what you have to do before, you have to know the period. Otherwise, you're overwhelmed. Once you know the period, you look through the archives, you can pick out what's important. More or less, you'll spot right away. If Rabbi Revel is corresponding with Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, believe me, you know that's important. If Rabbi Revel is corresponding with a paper manufacturer, it's not that important. You can put it aside. You have to have a chush. And that's something no one can teach you. You have to have an honest, intellectual, honesty approach. You can't be subjective. You have to be objective. Unless you're writing for Art Scroll, that's a different story. I can tell you my new book, they've shown it to people from the Art Scroll world, and it was described to me. One person looked at it like he couldn't believe what I had. And very smart what I did, in addition to the Modat Evel and Rabbi Revel, that I put in the statement that the Notary Public certified by Erwin Raxman, who was in Tyre Vadas, December 2nd, 1940, when Rabbi Revel died. So yeah, you have to be objective, but you have to know the era. Okay, so that's the way you approach archives. It's a lot of work, and no one wants to do a doctorate on Bernard Revel, on Samuel Belton. I've pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. People are listening to me all over the world, and all they do is wash my face in mud. They tell me about Rabbi Belton, their take on him. It's criminal, criminal. But people want to do an easy doctorate. You edit a text, you deal with Rishonim, come up with Chiddushei Torah. Fine, that's a nice doctorate, but to recreate a life, it's work. Okay. Now, Jack, we're dealing here with this tremendous question of lighting, being Makabel Shabbos early. And how does it obligate the wife, the husband, Kabbalat Shabbos? So listen to this question. It's one of a kind. This was sent to me by a dear Talmud, Gedalia from Muncie. I am aware of one Chabad shul who refuses to make early Shabbat. During the summertime, it is hard on families, especially for families with children, or mincha is 8:15, davening doesn't end until 9:15, forcing Shabbat dinner, Sudat Shabbat, to begin after 9:30. And could you imagine this Chabad shul refuses? They don't want to daven early. So he asked the Chabad rabbi why. The Chabad rabbi explained that his shul is the only Orthodox shul in the city, which is not uncommon for Chabad shuls, and that 99% of the Jews in the city are not Shomrei Shabbos. Therefore, if the shul begins Shabbat early, it obligates everyone. It's the only shul. We saw Rav Moshe's Tshuva, we saw the Mishnah Berurah, right? And that and that causes Shabbos to be longer, 26 hours and 15 minutes rather than 25 hours for the entire city, and thus increases the Chilul Shabbos performed by the Jews of that city during the extra 1 hour and 15 minutes. Do you hear what I just said? An additional factor is that if they have an early minyan, the rabbi will not get a minyan at the regular time, at 8:15 mincha. There are not enough Jews left to make a minyan. Not enough Jews coming to shul to make a minyan. So I have to say, that's a very fascinating question. How do we handle it? All right, think about it. My own answer would be very simply that we have to do what we have to do. If we're going to start worrying about the Mechallel Shabbos, you can't open an Orthodox shul. That's what I told you. When I began the first Orthodox shul, suburban Essex County, I did not have a minyan of Shomrei Shabbos. But Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik said, you got to open a shul. The shul's job is to be open. And believe me, ultimately, Baruch Hashem today, there's an Erev in the community. So you can draw your own conclusions. But it's a very, very fascinating question. And kol hakavod to Gedalia Friedenberg, who took it further. All right, now I want to move on. And I want to come back to something we touched upon. And I want to be a little bit deeper. I want to thank my student Mark Shapiro, Rabbi Doc. Let me give titles to my dear students. Rabbi Dr. Professor Mark Shapiro of Scranton University, who his claim to fame began down the hall in the corner room. That's where Scotty Isaac, that's where in 1980, I think it was, he had a Rebbe named Rakefet in BMT, and that was the first time he heard the name the Sri Deyesh, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg. You follow? And I can tell you a better story. In 1971, postgraduate class Michala, an Israeli girl, for the first time heard the name Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg in my class. And who do you think she married a few years later? His Talmud Mufak, following World War II, Rabbi Abba Weingart, who puts out all the sperm of the Sri Deyesh. So, as you know, recently, Mark, my Talmud Mark Shapiro, put out a new sefer, Igrot Malchei Rabbanan, where he corresponds with the great Rabbanim of our generation with various questions that he asked them. And we've struggled with this question in class. You go to a hotel, they won't let you light in your room. You light downstairs, lighting downstairs, it's Mickey Mouse, it's meaningless. What are you lighting? You're lighting two candles, there are 1,000 place, it's a convention of the OU. There are 1,000 candles lit, ain't a malev, ain't a morid, how can you make a bracha? The whole purpose of the candles is onig Shabbat. As we did this all last week. Jack told me a good pshat from his wife's uncle. Your father-in-law. I'm thinking of Beryl Rosenzweig, her uncle. So his father, one of the Rosenzweig brothers, said pshat that once one of the Oneg Shabbatot of the candles, that the food shouldn't be like the mun. What is the mun? It tasted differently. Everyone tasted what they wanted, but it all looked the same for everyone. If you have candles, it's an Oneg Shabbat. Fish, meat.
In the dark, you can't see.
Right, you can't see. So that's the part of the Oneg Shabbat. It's a nice pshat, I like it. But how do you make a bracha on candles? Alright, so that problem came up, and halacha lemaisa, if you ask me, halacha lemaisa, I paskin, turn on the lights in the room, then go downstairs and turn, and with the candles, make the bracha, having kavanah on the lights you turned on in the room. Alright, fine. Then a different problem came up. And this is the problem that there's a bit of correspondence and sources in what Mark wrote. Yontif Sheni, we light candles. Right? I go to shul, I tell my wife, I'll be home 8:15, you can light Yontif ends, second end begins 8:05, or wait till I come home, whatever's easier for you. Fine. We all do it. No, all right? Tell me, how can you light candles? What are the candles accomplishing? The light is there, right or wrong? You're not adding candles. How much light does it give? You have the fluorescent lights on, what do you have? The new type of lights. There's endless lights today. It's, I am, Baruch Hashem, when I sit and learn, I have daylight, even 12 midnight I have daylight if I want in my house. Today, the problem is I can't learn 12 midnight, I have to sleep. But when I was younger, the absolute daylight. So you're lighting candles? What is it at? How can you make a bracha? How can you light the candles all together? It's a melacha shelo letzorach. What you do on the yontif, you can carry, you can cook, but everything has to have a tzorach yontif. You can't do it if it doesn't have a purpose for yontif. How do you light candles? So I have to tell you that here's a posek mufak who taka paskins. You don't light candles. Reb Yitzchak Abadi. Quoting from the Yor Yitzchak. Now, who is Reb Yitzchak Abadi? Reb Yitzchak Abadi, Lakewood is a big, big institution today. It's not a small yeshiva. I just was in Lakewood. I mean, it's mind-boggling how big it is, but Lakewood essentially is a tent. Many different sheyurim, chaburat, all under the tent of Lakewood. Reb Yitzchak Abadi was a Talmud of Reb Shneur Katler, and this is when already Sfadim were attracted to Lakewood, and he was one of the big poskim in Lakewood. He was viewed as a little, I would use the word, too innovative. And ultimately, he came in Aliyah, he found this place here. Nu, do you recognize who I'm talking about? The Sefer Torah, no. Tell the class. He came up with the idea, if I understand correctly, what would you call it? You put, what's the word? Where the letters are punched out.
A mat.
And you pour ink over it. And it would cut the cost of a Sefer Torah from $30,000 down to a few thousand dollars. And I wanted, my daughter is friendly with his wife. So I told my daughter I'd like to visit him and see the process. He wouldn't let me in. He said he has enough Atmos Nefesh with all that, yelled at him. So I could never see the process. But what do I call when I was a kid? A stencil is the word?
A stencil.
So that's what I was told. It's something like, Yomo, is it like a stencil or not?
I've never seen it. You
don't know. No one has ever seen it.
So,
all right. He's a very big lamdan. Yeah. So in his seifa, I'm now quoting from Or Yitzchak, Orechayim Siman Pei. And I have to tell you, he asks lighting candles on second day. Yantif. And he says, Bizmanenu Yesh Chashmal. And he continues with that theme that how the lighting accomplishes nothing. And he says, It's quoting the Gemara that what good does light do if there's light from what are the candles adding to the regular electric light that you have? And he absolutely says that it's hadlaka shelo litzorach, and that's part of his psak here. I just want to tell you in parentheses. He also was asked another question. Does a daughter have to continue her mother's practice? Meaning, my wife lights two candles, her mother lit two candles, I believe my daughters light two candles. I told you a few weeks ago, my din v'dvarim with students who taught me something. You know, the minig is to light for every child, right? So you can have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I told you about the Gera Rebbe, the gossip in the websites, how many candles the Rebbetzin lit in Yerushalayim, and I explained to you what it meant to the Chassidim. So, tell me, are you obligated to continue your mother's tradition? So he's very sharp. He answers, that's a question. And if your mother makes three kugels for Shabbos, are you obligated to make three kugels for Shabbos? And he goes on, he's not too happy about the minhag. He says, minhag Yisrael is to light two candles, a chavish shama, and nothing else really matters. But it's interesting, if your mother makes three kugels, and are you obligated? Okay, but coming back to Friday night, this is an interesting question. And here I have to tell you, that I just spoke a half hour ago with Reb Heschel Schachter, right in my office here, and I asked him, and he said he agrees with Reb Yitzchak Abati. His wife does not light candles second day, Yom Tov. All right? Now, if you recall, when I raised the issue last week, I told you I absolutely disagree with this. And I have to tell you, Baruch Shekivanti Ledat Gedolim, that I'm not the only one who disagrees. And I'll show you the chiv in a second. But, you see, women have a mitzvah. Women, candles, there's nothing more indicative or nothing more that symbolizes a woman's role. You can talk from today to tomorrow, candles that give light, Ner Adam, Torah Hashem, Or Yisrael. This is the woman. This is the heart of the house. These are the candles. How do you take away such an essential mitzvah? Yom Tov Sheni. Wow. I'll tell you halachically why not just emotionally, but I'll tell you halachically. First of all, what are we talking about? Yom Tov Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni is always a Din D'Rabbanan. Whenever we're involved with a Din D'Rabbanan, Yesh Makom L'Hakel. Right or wrong, this is axiomatic. But more than that, if you recall the Magen Avraham I cited about weddings Friday afternoon, remember the Magen Avraham? And the woman forgets to light the candles, she can ask a guy to light the candles. So from all over the world, people wrote to me, how can you say such a thing? It's the woman has to light. I said, well, don't ask me how I could say such a thing. Ask the Magen Avraham. But I said, I'll explain the Magen Avraham that it's a din in chepsa, not a din in gafra. In other words, your role is to see that there's light. And if there's light, you can make a bracha. It's the Magen Avraham. I spoke about it 2 weeks ago. So I have to say, we can view it a little bit differently, that when you, Yom Tov Sheni, yes, there's electric light. Who arranged it? You did. Who turned it on before Yom Tov? Who arranged the time clock? The lights are there. You arranged it. No, not worse than a guy lighting the candles. All right? And then, let's keep to Minhag Yisrael, Kol ein vat madlika meirat Shabbat. Okay? Watch. There's a Jew in Jerusalem. You have a lot of big Talmidei Chachamim here. This is a name I had to check out who he is. Rabbi Avraham Duri. Mark quotes him in his Sefer. I quoted the name of the Sefer. He writes, this is on page Kuf Tet, Mar Siman Memche. Mark quotes him on this very question. And boy, he takes Rabbi Yitzchak Abadi to task, and Elo Devarim Shalani Betatni Lo Nitnu Lahamer V'Kol Shekein Lo Lehi Katev. And these are words that he shouldn't, not just he shouldn't have thought and said it in Shir, Allah Hatama V'Kama, you don't write this. And he took him to cast. He said, where's Shalom Bayit? What are we talking about? Imagine, I'm quoting him, you're going to tell your wife not to light candles on Yantiv Sheni. Yipani Shalom. Hamitzvah. What are we doing to the feminine mystique? To the feminine gestalt? And he absolutely disagrees. And then he mentions, takes another shot. He's using an automatic machine gun. We were trained on two guns, an FN, Fabrengen from Belgium. Those were the 6-day war guns. And then the Uzi came. And I remember when we were trained on the Uzi, my mafakeid, I was in charge of getting the guns, and I was exempt. It was a whole war room basic training. I didn't have to do the TO. And all I had to do was bring back the guns. So I asked the mafakeid afterwards, why were you so insistent? He said, you don't understand. I'm responsible for 30 guns. I needed someone I could rely upon to take them and return them. So I wound up being in charge of the Uzi. But an Uzi, today these guns are, they're ancient history already. But he says, I heard that this Mechaber is the one Shomeid Machareik Tivat Stam Meshi. And if that's the case, we can understand that he is not reliable. So he takes a terrible aim, shooting Reb Yitzchak Abadi down. But this is a real machlokas. Reb Heschel Schechter agrees with Reb Yitzchak Abadi. I asked him, halacha lemaisa, because Mark Shapiro wrote to me, he writes, Reb Schechter agrees with this in theory, but I find it hard to believe that he tells his wife not to light in accordance with Minhag Yisrael. But in a shir, I asked Reb Schechter what heter there is in today's day and age to light candles on the second day of Yontif. And he replied, it is a problem. In other words, in front of 30 people, instead of explaining why it is okay to light candles on second day, he simply said, it is a problem. People were very surprised. So now we can add to Mark's letter that a guy named Rakefer asked the great Gaon Rav Heschel Schechter, halacha lemaisa, and he just told me in my office, like Shoshana does not light candles on Yontif Sheni. Okay? But nevertheless, Rav Heschel, Mark Shapiro brings down Rav Avadi, who absolutely agrees with Reb Heschel, but he also brings down the tshuva he got from Reb Yitzchak Duri, who totally, completely, and absolutely disagrees. I can also tell you that Reb Yitzchak Duri takes on the Lashon he felt was not nice. Just because your mother makes 3 kugels for Shabbos, does that mean you have to continue the tradition? And what he says is, you see, with lighting candles, it's minhag hamakom to a certain degree. And what that means is very simple. It all goes back to the Gemara in Makom Shenahgu in Pesachim, Dafnun, and Aleph, the whole sugya there. When it's where you live that counts. And I would say, halacha lemaisa, if a girl grew up in a Hasidic community where everyone lights 7-8 candles, she should continue it. If they move to a community where she's going to be looked upon as odd, what is this? It's like every morning I suffer, a kid next to me in shul, he's a challenged child. He's in his 30s already. He's straightened out to a certain degree, but he talks to himself. You know, a kid, challenged. But in Israel, they raise these kids. They do a good job. Could you imagine this kid puts on, sitting right next to me in shul, he puts on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin every morning. My Litvisha heart is ready to platz. I see the Shulchan Aruch in front of me. Who can put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? I see the Rav. Whoever heard the Rav putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? Whoever heard Reb Moshe, regardless of what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said afterwards, with the cipher, the whole story. Baruch Shalom, the Vilna Gaon already said, if you're going to be Chayshish, Scotty, you have big yichis, your aunt's uncle, Reb Moshe Abraman, Ruby Abraman, Moshe's the son, big yichis. Nevertheless, big yichis doesn't entitle you to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And you move to a place, but evidently this kid comes from a Hasidic home, everyone puts on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, and you gotta smack Rakefet's face, be open-minded enough. If this kid was raised in the Hasidic home, forget the fact, Litvish and the Gaon and all, you know what the Gaon said, if you're gonna be Chayshish for Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, what do you say, 12 pairs, I've heard various gifts, 12 pairs, 24 pairs, he listed out all the different shita, the Rabbeinu Eliyahu and the Kesher and every day, alright, I agree, Makom Shenahagu is very important. All right, now we're moving further now, and we're coming into a very fascinating topic. And I don't know if we'll reach it today or next week. Some of you should be afraid to come to class because you're going to feel guilty every Shabbos morning the rest of your life. But there's nothing I can do about it. I just spoke with Reb Heschel about it too, and he told me absolutely right. The Aruch HaShulchan, absolutely right. The way we define it. But what can I do when my lumdus conflicts with the way Jews have lived from time immemorial? Im lo neviyimheng b'nei neviyimheng. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. So I got to live with that. Okay, so we started talking about Kiddush Friday night, and Shabbos, and there's no question, Kiddush Friday night is a deoraita. Shabbos morning, it's certainly not a deoraita, it's a derabbanan at most, it's a din and kavod of the meal, because there's not really a brach of Kiddush. All you're doing Shabbos morning is you're reciting psukim. No, psukim, I just say the shamru. My grandson came over yesterday, I listened to his kiddush, shamru and zachar, and others quote already from the Nevi'im. There's no end. You want to say psukim, you can say psukim all day. It's like kriyat shema. Tisha B'Av, we have a minig at 1 o'clock when we put on tefillin, so we say krishma over. No, what do you don't say krishma? It's long after the zman. But all right, eidat sheka, it's a parents from baba. But there's nothing wrong, all right, you can say kriyat shema 5 times a day, 10 times a day. Baruch Hashem, it's not davening, you're not saying a bracha. But Kiddush Friday night is the real McCoy. Then you're making a bracha on Kedushat Hayom, except that Chazal insisted with the bracha on Kedushat Hayom, there has to be a kosher bracha. Okay, good. Kiddush Friday night, remember what we said towards the end of last week's shiur, for all the people sitting in this room, outside of any females present, Kiddush Friday night for us is only a din derabbanan. Why is it only a din derabbanan? Because you yotzei kiddush and davening. You say whatever you say, ritzei b'mruchateinu, katshenu b'mitzvotecha. You yotzei kiddush. You spoke about kedushat hayom, baruch atam mikadesh haShabbat. You spoke already kedushat hayom. The whole Shemin Esrei Friday night is kedushat hayom. If that's the case, we yotzei d'oraita. So the Aruch HaShulchan already raises the question, which I can't believe. I guess he never foresaw what would actually happen 100 years later, 120 years later. If this is the case, Friday night, the woman should make Kiddush. A man should go to shul and tell his wife, "Don't make Kiddush, don't daven. That way, you remain with the chi of the oraita." to say Kiddush, and you'll make the Kiddush. You'll be motzi me and everyone else, because why only have a chi of the Rabbanan? I already davened. All right, I've seen this. Again, I'm a traditional guy. My wife is even more traditional than I am. I'm not happy about it. I'm proud to say that all my daughters who have advanced degrees, all of them, they don't make Kiddush Friday night. Their husbands make Kiddush, etc., etc. And believe me, they know how to make Kiddush. All right. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, he says, what are we going to do, upset every home? We can't go and say only women should make Kiddush? So he says that, no, Kiddush is a bircha, it's not a bircha tanenin. I can't make a motzi for someone else if I'm not eating. It's a bircha tanenin. Either you're enjoying it, you can make the bracha, either you're eating, you're drinking the wine, you're drinking the liquor, but this is a bircha tamitzvah. It's a bircha, a bracha, and kedusha temeshkatan v'tzotzav. You're dealing here with mekadesh haShabbat. Ah, that bracha, that comes back to what I spoke about weeks ago. We all live on two levels. On one level, we are Jews, individually, like every Christian and every Mohammedan. Religion is an individual matter, a personal matter. On the other level, we're part of B'nai Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Kahal Yisrael. That's an entirely different concept. And if there's one Jew alive who wasn't Yodzei the mitzvah, it's like I still have an obligation. If that woman comes to me, make Kiddush for me, absolutely. So I told you with the Chafetz Chaim's daughter, Rav Mendel Sachs's widow. I have that obligation. Shofar. I have to blow. Jews can't hear shofar. I already heard. I blew shofar. I heard 100 kolot. And yet I can go to a senior citizen. So I can go to the hospital. I can go to someone who can't get out of the house and make the bracha again and blow shofar again and be motzi him. Because kol zman, a Jew has an obligation, hasn't been yotzei, I have that obligation too. So that's the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains this halacha, and black and white, what he is saying is, Kol Zman, the woman has not heard Kiddush, a man can make the Kiddushva. Even though the man only had a rabbinic obligation, she has a Torah obligation, but to help of the Yotzei Torah obligation, the man can make Kiddushva. Okay, now let's talk about what you make Kiddush on. And here it's everything I'm quoting goes back to basically the whole sugya in Avei Psachim is essentially where you see it elsewhere. But I'll just give sources in the Rambam. Why do I give sources in the Rambam? Because halacha lemaisa, there are many different opinions, machlokot rishonim, but more or less the Shulchan Aruch pasuk like the Rambam. We live like the Rambam, and the Rambam also is very easy. When the Rav taught us this, if you ever want to find the Gemara, you look it up in the Rambam. Why do you look it up in the Rambam? Remember, this is before the computer. Today, anyone who wants to find the Gemara goes to the computer, types in a word, and lo and behold, everything pops up for him. But when I was learning with the Rav in the 50s, the word computer didn't exist yet. So the Rav said, you see, the Rambam has one advantage no other Sefer Halacha has. All the other Sifrei Halacha are formulated that you take the Rush, you take the Rif. It's according to Sugyas and Shas. You don't know where to go exactly. The Rambam was the first major attempt, Eliot organized, systematic. So all you have to do is look up Hilchot Shabbos, then you find the relevant halacha. Then you look in the Nosei Kalim, you find right away where the Rambam is getting it. Look into the Kesef Mishnah, in a minute you know where you are. The Maggid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Radbaz, etc. All the commentaries from the Rambam open up to you what his sources are. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Larich Jemim Tolman, became famous because of his work on the Rambam. He found a source for every word the Rambam said. 95% of the time it's very easy, but occasionally the Rambam is very esoteric and the source is Yerushalmi, the source may be elsewhere. That's the greatness of Rav Chaim Kanievsky's work. So you look at the
The Rambam says, Hilchot Shabbat is what we ended off last week, Perek Kaf Tet, Halacha Vav, Me Divrei Sofrim, Lekadesh Al Hayayin, Ulahavdil Et Al Hayayin. Alright, and all of us know, you made Kiddush Chaim, you made Kiddush yesterday, Friday, no? On wine. You made Havdalah in wine. Am I right or wrong? No?
You made Havdalah beer.
You're ahead of the class. Why did you make Havdalah on, Jack?
Wine.
Baruch Hashem. Right, that's very good. Look a step further. We'll get there. Perek Haftet Halacha Tet. Very interesting Rambam. Hayam mitavel lepat yetam in hayayin. O shelo hayay lo yayin. Hareze notel yadav techila. Umavareich hamotzi. Umekadesh. V'yachakach botzeya v'ochel. Very interesting. What if you like bread more? You don't like wine. Or what if your name is Rav Shai Yashiv HaKohen? No, what am I talking about? A Nazir couldn't drink wine. Rav David HaKohen, his father, the original Nazir, can't drink wine. How do you make Kiddush? You make Kiddush on bread. What if you love bread more? You don't like wine. You don't want to get drunk. You know, you have no taste for alcohol. Oh, the bread, I don't have to tell you what's going on.
Where do you put the mochi? Don't you have to make a mochi on
bread? Yeah, 1 second, exactly. Hold on. So the Shulchan Aruch also paskins, what you do is you wash, you make Kiddush, you put your hands on the bread while you're making Kiddush to show that this is the Kiddush. It's like a cup. You can't hold the cup, but you put your hands on the bread. Instead of Hagothan, you make Hamotzi, and then you say the Kedushat Hayom, the bracha leMekadesh Yisrael, Mekadesh HaShabbat, the bracha that you make, exactly, instead of the wine. Alright? Very, very interesting. So you see, when it comes to Kiddush, you basically have a choice, wine or bread. And when we talk about the wine, and this is based upon the Gemara, the wine should resemble wine that you use in the Beis Hamikdash. It has to be the most perfect, most wonderful wine, but ultimately, any wine is good for Kiddush. Halacha lemaisa, we're not makpid it could be a new bottle, we're not makpid it should be 60 days old, we're not makpid. The taste has to be perfect. You make Kiddush on the wine. Okay, so we have wine, we have bread. Now let's come back to the Aruch HaShulchan and let's see what he has to say. And Chaim mentions something very interesting. Sheikha Chama Medina. And you'll see sources that maybe you can use beer, a drink that is drunk in the community. Chama Medina, what does it mean? Not easy to define. But something, I would use the word, that has chashivut. Can't make Kiddush on water, can you? Tell me, what about tea? What about coffee? What about fruit juice?
Close.
Milk. What about milk?
Why not water? Water is one of the most important.
Water can be as important. It's absolute. The body is what, 80%+
yeah,
water?
You need water
to survive. But Chaim, Herbie, if you have in front of you a bottle of scotch or a bottle of water, what do you drink?
Water.
That's why you hit your age and you're so adamant. Water is not it's not chashivas. It's zeal kriberavu. It's the least of all the drinks in that sense. That we need water. We don't deny, but water is everything. You have water in liquor, you have water in wine, you have water in brandy, you have water in scotch, you have water in fruit juice, you have water in coffee. We don't deny the importance of water. But I don't think at a fancy meal they're going to drink a l'chaim with water. I never yet heard of that. They drink a l'chaim with scotch, cognac, whiskey. Okay, so very interesting. How does this scotch, whiskey, wine, beer, how does this play out? More than that, can you use it Friday night? Can you use it Shabbos morning? Can you use it for Havdalah? Do you understand what the question is here? It's overwhelming. All of us know that Shabbos morning, what do we make Kiddush on? You go to a shtibbel, you daven, you roll away, whiskey, nachas shops, one shops, two shops, the Kiddush clubs, God have mercy, what I have seen across the world, what is spent on schnapps, on liquor. No, that's Friday night, if that's Shabbos morning, what about Friday night? And if you can use it Shabbos morning, why can't you use it Friday night? Why do you distinguish? And here, we just heard from Chaim. We just heard from Chaim from Beit El. What did you make Havdalah on last night?
Beer.
On beer. If you can make Havdalah on beer, why can't you use it Friday night to make Kiddush? Wow, what's going on here? How do you define? Very interesting question. I can go a little bit further. Yitz Rubin is in Russia. Rakefet sent him. He's part of the Mossad's operation. Fine. No? He's in the hotel Shabbos. What do you make Kiddush on? What do you make Kiddush on?
Coca-Cola.
Well, what do you make Havdalah on? You understand? Halacha l'maisa. Let's go a little bit back in time. It's the Russian conquest, the Nazi conquest. Reb Chaim Moses in Vilna. What do you make Havdalah on? No wine available. There's nothing. People are starving. What's going on? What do you make Havdalah on? All right, this question, wait until you see the Aruch HaShulchan now. Reish Ayin Aleph in the Aruch HaShulchan, and I'm quoting, he lays down the law in Kiddush, summarizes the Rambam, summarizes the Machlokes Rishonim, if it's the Oraita, the Rabbanan, the women are chayav in Kiddush, everything we spoke about last week. But what do you use for Kiddush? Only good wine. He quotes the Gemara, and preferably it has to be 40 days old. It has to have the proper taste. It has to reach its ultimate with the alcoholic contents. However, he quotes the Rambam, Halacha Yud Zayin, that in a country where most of the wine, Rov Yenas Sheikha, Afal Pisha, Hu Pasul Lekiddush, Mutala Havdil, Hoel Bachu Chama Medina. And what the Rambam paskins, and you'll see the sources, to see, he has a malis moch, that if something is considered important, chashuv, it has chashivot, people drink it regularly. This, if I can give you an example which plays a role in the halacha, as we'll see. Look at Paris. What's Paris famous for? Every meal, they drink wine. The Italians, you go to Italy, wine is all over the place. It's like we drink Coca-Cola or we drink Pepsi-Cola. They drink wine. And by the way, studies have shown you live longer. It's supposed to be more healthy. And my father always used to say with Pepsi-Cola, if you put a penny into it, the penny corrodes away. And he may be right. But nevertheless, I drink, have my favorite drink is Pepsi Max, Baruch Hashem. But wine, chashuv. Oh, what if you're in a country where beer has the chashivot? And do you know that it's basically a machlokes? We paskin Friday night, la chatchila, you should only use wine. There are poskim from the Rishonim who say, Untvidara, either or. If you can use beer to make Havdalah, you should be able to use beer to make Kiddush Friday night. We don't paskin that way, lahalacha. But if you're caught in a terrible situation, and all you have is beer, you could use the beer to make Kiddush. You'd be yotzei, bidiavad. Fascinating.
Why are they making
Kiddush
during the day?
Relax, Yitzchak. Sabdanitis has ruined many a person.
Which we shouldn't even.
You'll see here, he quotes everything.
A beverage other than wine is preferable to the lechem?
It's about what I'm about to say. So, however, halacha lemaisa, wine, lechem is number two. If you don't have wine, or if mitvat, he's quoting the Gemara here, and quoting the Rambam, mitavel patriotem min hayayin. You want the bread. And I gotta tell you, in Israel, you have no idea, when we came in Aliyah, 50 plus years ago, the challah was just standard challah. Today, what's available here in the, it's beyond words. I've tasted that. A chocolate challah, a raisin challah. I wanted to make a shekhayano. I thought the last time I saw a raisin challah was back in the 60s. Everything is available. You like black bread. What happened here with the shipun and this type of bread and the oat bread and black bread and the balik, refined shalom. I can understand it. Scotty comes home. He wants to make Kiddush on bread. All right. La halacha, certainly if you don't have wine, you can make Kiddush on bread. And it could even be, if you like the bread more than the wine, you can make Kiddush on bread. You just have to remember, litol yadayim, before you make Kiddush, like the Yekkers do. Those of you of German descent, that's already a machlekes supposing, and they taka a litol yadayim. By the way, the Rush is matir to make Kiddush on Sheikha. You're asking who? He quotes the Rush. Okay. And so, fine. Now, but then you come to the problem that Yitzchak alluded to. Friday night, halacha lemaisa, we all make Kiddush on wine. Tlachatchila, most of us make Havdalah on wine. If you don't have wine, or if you want beer, and by the way, it's brought down in the halacha that Motzoi Pesach, the minute was to make Havdalah on beer, mipnei dechavivlei. How you get beer so quickly right after Pesach, I don't know, because Almidik is not to sell Chametz Ben, and this already is. Could be it's only a tarovet chametz, so maybe that's why people did sell it. I once asked the Rebbe about whiskey, so the Rebbe, Mori Rebbe, told me whiskey you can sell because it's a tarovet. So it could be that that's with beer. I don't know. Yeah, some expert here who knows how beer is made, you can tell me. What do you say? What do you say, Lenny? You don't know. Okay, it's
the Gram made Havdalah.
What?
The Gram made Havdalah and beer. Let's say
the Gram made Havdalah and beer. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. You see the Ramah, yeah.
He went to a Goyish bar and he bought some.
Sent someone to buy in a Goyish bar. Okay. Could be.
That's what I read.
But if you wish, you can. That's what's important. Okay, but now, Shabbos morning, wine is ahead of everything. Why should Shabbos morning suffer? All right, agreed. It's not really a Kiddush in the sense you're making a bracha on Kedushat Hayom. According to the Rambam, it's a din in Kavod Hasuda to add elegance to the Sabbath meal. That's why, according to the Rambam, people drink even sudashli shit. That each meal that's a Shabbos meal, you start off with a drink. But alright, Minig Israel is, we've turned around the Shabbos morning, we call it Kiddush Rabbah, the Kiddush Rabbah, the Gemara says. And you know, and everyone explains, why is it called Kiddush? It's unimportant compared to Friday night. So people shouldn't be mezalzel, Michael, They called it the important Kiddush, that you should know, you have to make Kiddush Shabbos morning. And Kiddush Shabbos morning, you have no idea what the problems are. Who makes Kiddush on a big cup? You take a little cup, right or wrong. All right, you got to remember to fill it to the top. I've seen people take a little cup and they fill it halfway. They don't want to get drunk. Got to fill, all right, but it's a little cup. For sure there's no revit. We don't need that yeshiva boy to tell the Chafetz Chaim's daughter, Rebbetzin, pardon me. He said it in Yiddish, but he said to her, I don't think it has a shear. So she said, this Chafetz Chaim's cup, but take a look. What's going on here? Well, and Ribbono Shel Olam, this is Minig Yisrael. I'm not, again, maybe Rav Shechter and Rav Abadi will get up and say, you can't be Yotzei with this type of Kiddush. You need a big cup and you need one. But Minig Yisrael, all over the place, they pride themselves in the good liquor. This is one of the problems in the Orthodox, modern Orthodox world, maybe in the whole Orthodox world in America. Kids start drinking at the age of 11, 12. My grandchildren grew up in Katamon. They knew every good drink. Now they're older, they don't drink so much, they're much more responsible. But they knew every good drink. I couldn't get over it. You're growing up in Katamon, Yerushalayim. Ah, these kids, they my grandchildren talking about, they knew everything. No, what's going on here? Okay, look at the Orach HaShulchan at Sifkaton Yud Dalet. And he says, you can give all the reasons in the world why we make Kiddush Shabbos morning on what's called Yayin Sraf, which is hard liquor. But none of these reasons make sense. Wine is more important. And all the Gaonim, and he says, wherever they came from, Bavel, Sfat, Safat, Ashkenaz, they all told us you have to make Kiddush on wine. And he says, you know why we don't make Kiddush on wine Shabbos morning? Because where we live in Eastern Europe, we don't have wine. We have to import it. And it's very expensive. Yoker Hagadol. Wow, Vic, very expensive. You understand? You buy a bottle of wine. You go down a few blocks to Rami Levi, to Osherad, where you live, for 12, 13 shekel, you get the finest wine in the world. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
What do you mean wrong?
Wrong.
I get good, sweet King David wine. 12, 13 shekel. Ribbono Shel Olam. Listen to this. Listen to this. The gum, not only is it expensive, Ari, the gum habdei yirei alokim sheinam rotsim lishtotan bipnei ha-hechsha kiyadua. You think phony hechsherim just appeared in America? You think Hal Gatzworth's doctorate, fraud, corruption, what's the other word? In fraud, corruption, and holiness, his doctorate, Columbia U, published on corruption in Hashkafa in America, the 1920s, the 1930s, Rakefet spent months lecturing on this topic. You think it just began in America? I can't believe my eyes. V'gam habei yirei alokim, sheinu rotsim lishtatan, mipnei ha-hechsha kiyadua. Who can depend upon these hechsherim, imported wine? Who knows where it's coming from? Wow. Then he goes further. The Yain Etzleinu, the only wine we make, is Rak Yayin Mitzmukim. V'hayayin Chazeh B'dochek L'Varech Alav Borei Pri Agafen. Treats the other thing, no? Grape juice. Ribbono Shel Olam, my wife fell in love with Kedem, with fizzling, sparkling peach grape juice. And I keep my wife happy. I make Kiddush Friday night. If that's wine, I'm a Chinaman. Got it? I never tasted anything so good, alive, awake. Who can drink a whole bottle? The alcoholic contents, it can't even get an ant drunk, let alone a human being. Rabbi Shalom. No? And he said, I saw this in Russia, by the way, under the communists, when Yitzhak Kogan should only live and be well, Arif Yomim Tov and his dear wife, Zichronet Tzadeket Levracha. So when they heard we're not driving, we're not taking the metro on Shabbos, we're staying in the hotel, he gave us grape juice wine. And grape juice wine, all right, we make a guffin on it. I'm not saying you can get grape juice, but this is, you know, it's not the real wine that's contents and alcohol, all right. Maybe it's more than a sixth. How much are we showing him? I'm referring to. All right, but he says that this is what we have for wine. He says, be the avad, the kiddush Friday night, we have no choice. But when it comes to Shabbos morning, absolutely, let's have a choice. Kiddush on schnapps. No, this leaves us with one tremendous question. We who live in Eretz Yisrael, a country where we are now winning international awards for our wine. It flows in the streets. Company after company after company. People up in the Golan Heights, people in Chevron, people in the Shomron. They say the grapes, I don't know, I had grapes this year that in my life I never tasted. If the Maraglim brought back grapes, they brought back grapes like they're selling today. They developed a whole new technique without pits. In America, I had grapes. You had to spit them out. We came back to Israel in August. We can't believe what's available. We just finished the last box we had in the house on Shabbos. So where do we have a heter in the world? Shabbos morning. All right, I admit I make kiddush twice. The first kiddush I make when I come home from shul, I had lechem, I had two matzah, I had a matzah, and I made kiddush on wine. That was at 8:10 yesterday morning. Then when my wife comes home from shul about 11:45, I make kiddush again, chocolate liqueur, what she loves. He's raising the issue here, and he's giving us musa, he's giving us hell, and you should know, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, many of us are b'dieved Jews when we make kiddush Shabbos morning on schnapps, on liquor, on brandy, on scotch. All right, well, what can we do? We're Jews, Am Yisrael, and Lo Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. Very fascinating. Very fascinating that he mentions they weren't somich on the Hechsha. Could you imagine? We grew up when we were little kids, or the art scroll world, everything in Europe was great, wonderful, tzaddikim, Shmirat Shabbos. Absolutely not so. From the time the Enlightenment began, there has been a total breakdown, and we have to have chinuch and malamdin who can raise generations in love with Yiddishkeit, in love with the sagar of our people. It's not easy, but if we don't succeed, there is no tomorrow. Yes, Yitzchak, this is Derech HaShulchan.
Okay, now, Yayin Mavushal. It has to be wine that could be bring in the base of it.
Right, you couldn't bring Yayin Mavushal.
So what about today? Most wine is Yayin.
That's what I said. That's only lachatchila. That you look into the sources. It's all here. You have to have 40 days. It has to be sparkling and be the evidence any wine. So we need Yayin Mavushal to solve all the problems with the non-Jews. You follow? Chalalei Shabbos, according to some, but we can be. I would be Mekil. I don't want to say everyone is Mekil, but there's a Yesham Mila Smoch. The Aruch Laner, etc., Pekavega, but with Yayin Mavushal, it solves a lot of problems. So it's like you have to make a decision which is better. If you live in an area where there's no Machalos Shabbos and no Goyim, so right, use regular wine. But if you're in a hotel, do not allow non-Mavushal wine in. You follow? Hotel, El Al Airplane. The OU gives heksha to El Al airplanes, not on the beverages. because they have no control over the wine that is used. You follow? So it's a problem, but it's, again, you're facing a challenge. It can't be black and white. You have to do gray the best possible. So to me, it's more important to have yayin mevushel than to say I need wine that I could bring to Beis HaMikdash. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it, you'll see in the Achronim. All right. Now we come to the most famous part of the Aruch HaShulchan. This is quoted and requoted, as you will see. And I'm quoting him. This is right at the end of Sifkat and Yudalit in Ayin Reish Bet. It should be Reish Ayin Bet, but I explained last week, we don't use Ra'av like Shnat Tir, not Tir Tzach, but Tir Chatz. You follow what I'm saying? 1938, it becomes Tir Chatz. That's when I was born, I think. One second, let me just figure out. December 2nd, 37 would be Tir Chatz. Yeah. That is correct. Am I right? Yeah, yeah, because the year changes right in the middle. The old problem of the Jewish year and the general year, because we change in, they change in January and we change in September. Okay? I was born Tir Chatz. Very nice. I have to take a bath every day. And listen to the Aruch HaShulchan here. V'yotemize ra'inu she'asu havdala al chalav o al tei matok. And afal gav devadai lo shayich lekratan chama medina ap mitnei halachad suhat decha kon shein lo yayin v'lo sheicha o shenis ha'mechadash. You are allowed to use for Havdalah. Look what he says. Milk, sweet tea. Herbie, he answers your question here. He says, this is not Kamam Medin. What does it mean not Kamam Medin? It's not preferable. It's not when someone walks into your house. All right? You want to be mechabed him with a drink. What are you going to give him? Milk? Or a shot of schnapps?
Water.
Boy, Herbie, you're a rough cookie to deal with. We're not in the Holocaust now, Ribbono Shel Olam. There, you jumped on water. In Elizabeth, a Jew comes into your house Shabbos morning, Yankala, Zetzichavek, Machalachayim mit me, right or wrong. That's Haman Medina, Hashivut. Bidieved, milk, sweet tea. Listen to the words of the Aruch HaShulchan. You see, sweet tea, sugar was a bit of a luxury in Europe. That's the famous story with the Shagat Aryeh. The Rav told the story. The Rav broke down and cried. I'll never forget it. The Rav, it's amazing. The Rav who was, we'll come to this in the Monday class, actually. We'll come to it, I don't know if tomorrow, but the week after this, in a different context altogether. But the Rav, in personal, he was a brisk, he was count. He never got a kiss from his father. When he spoke in public, the emotion was overwhelming. So he told the story in the Shagat Aryeh that he was so poor, and they had nothing. And then he was appointed to in Alsace-Lorraine, the city of Metz, I think it was called, which was a chashuv shtela, and they had money for the first time. And the Rebbe, they made a kiddush, and the Rebbetzin didn't know what you do with the sugar. The Balabatim, you know the story, the Balabatim brought sugar, and she served tea, whatever she served, and she didn't know, she thought the sugar was like a dessert. She didn't understand, you put it in the tea, you put it in the coffee. The Rav broke down and cried at the Shaket Aryeh. Mipivanu chayim, mimavanu shotim, and that was the poverty. So you notice, he stresses that the tea is with sugar. And he says, Havdalah, even if you have whiskey, but who can drink whiskey and Havdalah? You know, it's a psychological thing. We Jews, Shabbos morning, we can drink. Havdalah, I even know myself with wine. I love wine Friday night. I drink the wine from Havdalah, Yotzei Tzayin. I cannot say I enjoy it even one-tenth of what I enjoy Friday night. So he says, if this is the case, that you can't drink the wine, you can't drink schnapps, and you certainly can't drink a shear of schnapps, a revi, so chalav
have a mashke v'tein matok gamken shotim habay, and he paskins la halacha that you can use milk or tea with sugar fry at Motzoi Shabbos to make havdalah. So look what you see from the Orach HaShulchan la halacha. Friday night, absolutely wine. If you have no wine or you like the bread more, you can do that lachatchila. A different type of liquid would be a bidiyevid. All right? I would say, halacha lemaisa, if someone doesn't have what to make Kiddush on Friday night, so if he's going to get involved with the bidiyevids, he should make the Kiddush before he davens. So he should have a chiyuv the oraita to make Kiddush, and saying the bracha will be yotzei under the oraita level, and then he can go daven after he eats, leave himself a reminder, leave a sitter on the table, leave yourself a reminder. I'm quoting the halacha now. Or you have to tell someone, remind me to daven marba. I'm saying it. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Think about it. But Shabbos morning, freedom of choice. Basically, wine is better, 100% better, but Jews remain Jews, and to take a little schnapps and get a little high and excited and Shabbos morning and Minig Yisrael and the Hasidic world, and it's not based upon a revit anymore, it's what we normally drink, and since you drink much more wine than you drink schnapps, so you can use a smaller course. A lot has been written on this. The Chachamim do their best l'lameid schut on Am Yisrael. Also remember, these are rabbinic laws. It's just Friday night where you're involved with the Kiddush, the Oraita. Wherever, I don't want someone to jump up, this is going to hit us in the Monday class. How come you can't solve the Aguna problem if you can drink whiskey Shabbos morning? You follow me? A woman will smack my face and say that. And it's happened to me already. It's happened to me. So you have to understand, these rabbinic laws, we do what we can to lameid schut on Klal Yisrael. Ah, and then, let me end off Yud Zayin. The Orach HaShulchan, he's quoting the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham is quoting earlier sources, but very fascinating. What if you're in Eastern Europe, and it's very cold, grapes don't grow there, wine is not readily available, and Erev Shabbos, you're b'makom sheyesh bo yayin, v'yodei shebishabbat lo yiye lo yayin. Again, it's hard to, if we take the words literally, what does this mean? Maybe it means this. Erev Shabbos, I went to visit my wealthy cousin. All right, I have some, told you, I have wealthy cousins who never acknowledge we're part of the family till my brother and I accomplished a little bit in life. My middle brother, I'm the eldest, my younger brother was, it didn't happen, he was too young to be involved in this, but wealthy cousins, you go to visit your wealthy cousins, they have wine. And Shabbos, I'm going to be back in my house a quarter of a mile away, half a mile away. Do you know what the Orach HaShulchan quotes the Magen Avraham? You should make Kiddush at your cousin's house, mi ba'od yom alayayin, v'yishtah, v'asur hakach lasok melacha, you should be makabel Shabbos early. Now notice, he doesn't say one word about the plague. Is this before the plague, after the plague? The Orach HaShulchan adds on, u'bevadai hakavana acha plague hamincha. That certainly it has to be after the plaque hamincha. That's the Orach HaShulchan adding on his own comment. But take a look what you have here. Halacha lemaisa. You're at your cousin's house. He's rolling in money. Beautiful wine, even in Eastern Europe, imported from Carmel 110, 120 years ago, what the Israeli industry began. Bottle of wine from Israel.
you say to your cousin, my dear cousin, I don't have wine. Could I make Kiddush now? I'll be Makabel Shabbos? Absolutely. Preferable to anything else. Then you go home. All right. If your wife is not with you, you'll make Kiddush afterwards again on bread, whatever. Be Motziha. But what a halacha. What a preference for wine. So tell me, this whole shiur today, what have we done? We've set the stage for the Asher Klein Mishnah Halachot Chelek Yud Chet Siman Kuf Ayin Zayin. And he gets a very fascinating question. The year is 1970. The tshuva is to someone he gives many titles to, Reb Chaim Yaakov Tenenbaum. I don't know who that is, but he evidently thinks the world of him. And Reb Chaim Yaakov Tenenbaum, remember, these are survivors. This is Brooklyn. This is Borough Park. These are people who saw Europe. And now they're enjoying life in America. And he asks him, Rav Menashe Klein, what is Chama Medina today? Can we use beer? Kiddush, Havdalah. Someone doesn't like wine. Someone doesn't have wine. Can you use beer? America, New York, Borough Park. Beer readily available. Imports, locally produced. More than that, they came up with a product in America that really they didn't have in Europe. You have all types of fruit juices. Whoever heard in the halacha of fruit juices being used as a chamar medina, something you're going to serve? What about orange juice, grapefruit juice, apple juice, strawberry juice? No end to what the world has developed. True, he says, in halacha, you find date juice is referred to. But date juice has an intoxicating element. It's a little bit different than regular fruit juice. If you drink enough date juice, you'll get high. You'll get a little bit intoxicated. If you drink enough apple juice, orange juice, grapefruit juice, you'll just get a lot of vitamin C, but you're not going to get intoxicated. And this is the very question he gets. And you'll see the way he handles it. Okay, so I have a few things I want to say. Let me just summarize. So what did we do today? All right, Bezrat Hashem, we finished out candles, second day Yontif. I don't know, I grew up, I never ever heard anyone raise that shiloh. Never. Do you ever hear? Never. Yeah. Never. And today, take a look, machloket haposkim, and look at the language. One uses it plain and simple. And then he's attacked by a Sfadi Talmud Chacham here. You shouldn't even have thought it. Certainly not have written it. And yet, Reb Heschel Schachter agrees with Reb Yitzchak Abati, okay? And I like the way Mark Shapiro says, he asked him the question in front of this audience, and he says, yeah, you have a problem. And he says, the audience was very surprised that you can understand that suddenly Reb Heschel Schachter says, you can't make a, you can't light candles, second day Yontif. Wow. I wonder about second day Rosh Hashanah. There already is Kedusha Richta. Probably more of a case not to light, because there you can tiny, you lit first, it's Kedusha Richter, so, wow. No, anyway, halacha lemaisa, I wish we could ask the Rav already, Rebbe, it's a machlekes, your Talmud, and Rebbe Yitzchak Abadi from Lakewood, Nuva, Rebbe, what do you think? We could bother him. All right, it would be interesting. So we finished out that topic. I mean, not finished that in class. It's again, you can do a doctorate on Hadlakat Neirat and all the subdivisions of the type of the topic. It's a din. It's certainly a din de Rabbanon, and it has implications, Divrei Kabbalah,
a divrei sofrim, because it's a pasuk kibud v'yonik. It's even more than a simple din derabbanan. Very fascinating. Then we gave a whole introduction to kiddush, havdalah, wine, whiskey, Shabbos morning, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Many of us sitting in this room are sinners, plain and simple. Halacha lemaisa, I wouldn't lose sleep over it, but we should be aware of what he's saying. The Aruch HaShulchan, also chalav and tea with sugar, that becomes very important. It's cited and recited. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm picking up exactly where I left off, the early years of the RCA, and I'm going to develop modern orthodoxy and the people involved, very fascinating material. I just want to mention, I went through Maxine Jacobson's PhD thesis, very fascinating. I think she's a little bit, she stresses modern orthodoxy. I wouldn't say that Rabbi Young and Rabbi Goldstein were modern orthodox. I would say they created a modern rabbi. But all right, she's entitled. I understand what she's saying. Certainly Rabbi Lukstein fits into modern orthodoxy. What I do want to say to Maxine Jacobson, if someone's listening, to please tell her, and this involves our Sunday class, she questions why the Rav never contributed to the halachic journal that Rabbi Young was one of the sponsors, Noam. And she seems to feel there may be bad feeling between them. If she'll talk to me privately, I'll explain to her what the relationship was. My viewpoint is any word I say has to be truthful, but I don't have to tell everything. There is reason to look back to the machlokes over the presidency, but that has nothing to do with Noam. What we have to understand is the Rav was not a respondent in the sense of Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He didn't write tshuvot like that. He was a briska. We don't have one tshuvah from the Rav that resembles the tshuvah of Rav Avadja or resembles the tshuvah of Rav Moshe Feinstein. We don't have one tshuvah. The closest we come is the English, what the Rav wrote about drafting people for the American army, right? The chaplaincy. It's about the closest we have. We don't have one tshuvah. That was not the Rav's ballpark. The Rav was a Rosh Hashiva, was a brisker. Rav Chaim never wrote a tshuva like that. When there was a shaili essentially Rav Simcha Zelig to the brisker dying to Rav Riga, Rav Simcha Zelig Riga. So that's why the Rav didn't contribute to Noam. Firstly, he didn't contribute anywhere at that time. He didn't publish. That was, look at Rakevitz's book with a perfectionist. You understand that was a brisker trait. Not everything you think do you say, not everything you say do you write. And certainly not everything do you write do you publish. It's a brisker trait. Ask Rabbi Rubin. He has a letter from the Rav in the Rav's handwriting where the Rav apologizes to him that he doesn't publish. Yitzchak, right or wrong? The letter, okay, there you see it. He shook his head, acquiescence. So it's nothing to do with any hard feeling. It's only to do, the Rav was not Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was not the Rav. The Rav did publish in his lifetime when he was young. He published one thing, Ish Halacha. And that's the Rav's magnum opus in philosophy. Why did he publish it? Rakevitz's theory, because he was a new Rebbe in the yeshiva, and the students were, you know, who is this guy from Boston? I go, yeah, you know, I go to Sarabanim, saying, Oistelach from him. Yeah, he showed them who he was. That's all he published. Nothing else was published until much, much, much later. And much more will be published, I say within 50 years from now, 75 years. Baruch Hashem, you'll be proud to be alive then and see what we have. Your children and grandchildren will enjoy it. Life moves on, Yitzchak, we have to move with it. So that's what I wanted to say. Another comment I want to make is, and again, I have no mazel, the student I wanted to tell this to is not here, Effie Wagner. This, his brother, my dear student, Eli Wagner, published at his son's Brit, Holda'at Baldin, Kuntres bin Yonei Mila, Holda'at Baldin, that he's thankful to God that he's achieved this.
title is a little misleading. Hodat Baal Din, you think it's in Sanhedrin with Chayshin Mishpat. But he wrote on the Brit of his fourth son a beautiful kuntris of Mila Halacha and Machsheva. And I want to suggest to him he should enlarge this, study the Sheraton Shuvit in modern times dealing with Mila. For instance, the clamp. Are you allowed to use the clamp? Every mohel, this was such a big Indian in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Then there's another shaila, modern times. Is it good to have a Brit on Shabbat? People, the eighth day is especially a chiyuv. If you miss the eighth day, you miss that the kiyum. But all the chilul Shabbos, you know how much has been written on this? There's a mull obligated to go. You have to go to a house, total chilul Shabbos. Everyone is driving up, and you're the mull. You have to do the Brit, or no, I'm sorry, it's Shabbos. I can't expose myself to this scene. I don't know. Rehov Vasa has two places open Shabbos, the college kids drinking, getting drunk. These kids, it's unbelievable. A kid can grow up in Israel, speak perfect Hebrew, doesn't know one word of what Yiddishkeit is. Not one syllable. His whole education is totally devoid. Greek and Latin he'll know better than a Pasuk Chumash. So I don't like even to walk past their Shabbos. It bothers me. It hurts me to see them drinking, schminking, the music on. So it's a very interesting shaila. So he should expand this and have a whole sefer. Yes, Yitzchak, what did you want?
I once gave a series of talks with the Messiah courts.
Right.
But of course.
Right. I know what you're talking about. Going chutzlaretz.
Right. These are people going to work in consuls and embassies.
Right.
So we talked about the Jewish home and I mentioned the mezuzah. And they said, oh yes, we know that's a kameya. That's a talisman to keep.
Right.
So I said to them, do you know there's something in it? What?
I never knew that there was anything.
There's something inside the mezuzah. So the next time I brought cloth in to show them. But I couldn't believe, here were guys, each one had an MA in order to be in the program.
And they were post-army and educated and spoke perfect Hebrew. And this story I verified when I came in Aliyah. In the first election here, the Mapai wanted to show the immigrants, the survivors. So in Tel Aviv, a guy running for office on the Mapai ticket walks into shul and shes wearing talit and tefillin. You follow? So this is what we're dealing with. That's the challenge to us.
And the reason that they started the course in Yiddishkeit is because in South Africa, someone from the consul went to shul, and when they called him up to get an aliyah,
right.
He said, what is your name? He said, Shimon. Shoshim Lachan.
Right. No, I know the story. I can tell you better. The Rav, Yitzhak Rabin, went to meet with the Rav in Boston, and it was a very hard time. The Rav said to him, Revech v'hatzlacha yamdu liyehudim b'makom acher. According to the Pasuk in Megillat Esther, the Rav said, Yitzchak Rabin looked at him, didn't know what he was saying. Quoting a simple pasuk. All right, but this is the challenge. You know what we're up against. You see Lieberman, you see Gans from a Satma home. God have mercy. Lapid, married to the great-granddaughter of Rav Amiel. This is the challenge. Believe me, it's a big challenge. I want to mention, I think it was Eli Wagner gave me a copy of Rav Bednash's test on Hilchot Nida. Believe me, if you can answer this, you are fabulous, because you got to work out all the Veset and Kavua and Lo Kavua and everything. But I'm curious. Rabbi, here's my Bedika from this morning. It looks a little reddish now, but I swear that when I looked at it right away, it was not reddish at all. Is this okay? What did Rav Bednash Paskin Lahalacha? Anyone taking Hilchot Nida with him? I mean, it's an interesting question, because Nida, it's Nemanut of the woman. Yeah?
I think he said
he
said you don't trust her.
Yeah, why don't you trust her?
You're only down Masha in a row.
So then I want to ask a different question. Did he deal with this? I think Rabbi Tendler made a chart of various colors. And can you depend upon the chart and show the woman the chart that it looked like this? Now, Rabbi Tendler said, based upon the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the chart of the new moon, you see that they had a chart, they worked with the chart, and the Adam had to say, we saw it here, there, according to the chart. So, he didn't deal with that, you said. Very interesting, I'd be curious to know. Okay, anyway, very interesting, you fellas, if you study hard, you'll be big Talmidei Chachamim. Not all at once, see, that's the mistake. Guys make, they sit in the basement, they don't take courses available that, it's a mistake. Why? You don't become a Talmid Chacham all at once. You have to get the key to learn. You take a class that opens your mind to what's available, it keeps you learning for the next 100 years. You understand what I'm saying? And then you master, it's like the whole world opens, the vista broadens, it's wow. Then you can talk and learning with Rav Ovadia Yosef. When I would talk with him, his eyes would light up. I mean, you never, this was a man. It's a shame. Yitzchak will tell you, he got involved in politics here. So the average Israeli, he said this, he said that. Yes, it's a mistake to get involved in politics, but the man was, it's overwhelming. You talk with him, in a minute he chapped, you said he could spur his eyes. They see the way he worked. Rav Shlomo, you talk with Rav Zevin, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Oh God. They don't make Jews like that anymore. You understand? It's just a sight to see. A chassid who knew Kala Torah Kula, Lababacha Chassid, Kala Torah Kula. Rav Paleyev published a Sefer in America, the famous Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Aaron Paleyev, a giant of Torah. So Rav Zevin wrote a review and he showed in one chiddush of Rav Paleyev, the Yerushalmi knocks him out. So Rav Paleyev said he's right, but whoever learned Yerushalmi in Eastern Europe, you understand? Rav Zevin knew Kala Torah Kula. Alright, the freebies, a lot is going on in the world, and I have to tell you, everyone asked me Shabbos, Chaim, everyone asked me Shabbos with Danny Greer, with the sentence, with jail. I have nothing to say, I have nothing to comment. I know him since 1952. A chatzav he always was. I think he prided himself in being a chatzav. He's the guy who got the Rav to switch to English. These ears, these eyes. No, I mean, I spoke with Chaim Soloveitchik, so he had a version. I said, no, Chaim, that's not how it happened. I was sitting right there, and I told him, sorry, now I have to quote you. I said, I was right there. He got the rub to switch to English. He built a whole community in New Haven. And whenever we met, he would give me masam not frim enough. He had a beard, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, freedom of choice. His kids, he once showed me his son, he goes to Yale with Payet, beautiful, I love it. Don't be like her, Kefet, be like you want to be, absolutely. Can this be true? All I can say is, if a court found, first of all, there was the litigation on the monetary level. I think, what did they rule, $15 million against him? And then a jury, I think the whole jury took 40 minutes to reach a decision. So I have to tell you, I'm flabbergasted, but I can't curse and say anti-Semitism. And this kid who went public, I know the family, Miralis, it's a wonderful frum family, Dore Dora, breaks the heart. Why do we have so many sexual crimes? I don't know. I'm a normal man. I got married young. I don't know. I don't understand it. If you believe in Torah, live with Torah. God, I taught 31 years the most wonderful women in the world. Great women. Wonderful women. Rabbi Aberman taught women so many years. I brought him into Midrashic Maria. He brought me into Mechola. Was there ever a word of scandal? I don't understand it. All right, there was one maneuver who came and said something not nice to a girl. I remember in Machon Gold in the early 70s. I told that, and he was playing frumka, idiot, moron. I helped that girl until today. Her family gives shvita me thousands of dollars a year in my honor because of what I did to give her. You know, I told her Judaism is perfect, Jews are not. But I always regret whenever I speak about it that I didn't go to the dean and said, get rid of that manuvel or I'm leaving. You know, we didn't think in those terms. But all right, it was a minor manuvel compared to what we're talking about today. And you talk about homosexuality. And God, you have it's beyond my comprehension. And that's why I protest that b'mishpacha, ami, do not have pictures of women. It's against the Torah, plain and simple. And I'm happy to say, I always feel happy. I quote the Rav. I quote it in the Rav, my work on the Rav. I quote Rebbe speaking about the Beit Halevi. The Beit Halevi used to say, if you find someone thinking the way you do, it's a sign you're going in the right direction. I'm happy to say that at the Yaguda convention just now, there was a session with Rashi Yeshiva, and a young man got up and asked with great derech charetz that there are so many complaints that Mishpacha doesn't publish pictures of women. Why don't they? Women, people are asking, I don't know, maybe he's quoting Rakefet, but he said so many. And Rosh Yeshiva tells him a story. This is why Hillary Clinton was not elected. I couldn't believe my ears how he dismissed it. Why wasn't she elected? Because if she was elected, Ba Mishpacha would have had to put a picture on the front page. So God did a miracle and Trump was elected. All right? It's so much deeper than that. Because men are men and women are women, and if men would not be men and women wouldn't be women, none of us would be sitting here. Darn it, the whole Medrash Rabbah, take a look. Who would ever get married? You know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Yuma, the chicken that didn't lay an egg. But the Medrash is even sharper. Why the heck should I marry a strange woman? Spend all the money you spend on a wife, the time you give a wife? Wow, I could sit and learn in a wall, shas and paiskim, Yerushalmi, babbly, backwards and forwards, and all the money you spend on have rotten kids? Well, come on. Kids, you got to send them to day school in America. My grandson almost fainted. He married a girl who came in all the way from Baltimore, so he's in Baltimore. The other grandparents, he can't believe what they spend on day school. I told my grandson, you have 3-4 kids. If you're making less than $500,000, you're on the poverty level. What do you think, it's Israel? Then you got to send them to camp. Then you got to send them to Israel to study because a guy named Rothkopf had to be involved with BMT in 69 and change the world. Think for a minute. But you gotta know how to deal men, women. It hurts me because it's against Torah to blot out the picture of the Chafetz Chaim's wife. To blot out the picture of Avadji Yosef's wife, his daughters, my own student Rivka. I give up. Alright, maybe I'm stupid, I can't win. Let's see what's what. Yitzchak, first of all, give this to Yitzchak. It's Reb Aaron Lichtenstein answering the question. Then give this to Yitzchak, Chaye Sarah, and Tolbert. Then Chaim, take this for your grandson. Then if anyone wants a map of Poland, this was given to me years ago, it's a map created for the tours of Poland going back to pre-World War II Europe. Then a guy named William Gewirtz did a whole piece on the Sukkah controversy of Yontif Sheni. I love it immensely because I gave Sherman this many, you know, those Sheyurim brought over $1 million for Tzedakah. You know how? Someone unknown to me, it's before the internet, so I was making tapes for Jack and 3 students in America. Mm-hmm. And once it reached America, one rabbi left, passed it on to Milti Rabbi Nordlich, and he started selling them without my knowledge. So, which I don't mind, except if I knew he was, I would have been more, as is, I get into trouble because I say stupid things in class and people get angry at me. But I try to be careful now. My problem is I'm not offended if someone calls me a dope. But if you imply something is racist, so a person in Beverly Hills living a 5-minute walk from Rodeo Drive. William, you get the picture?
Yes.
He was so enthralled with my shirt. Can't you want me to use gabite stock? He gives to families. That's his thing. So I sent them to my daughter. Over $1 million went to Tzedakah. Anyway, if anyone wants this, it's very interesting because William tries to deal with the problem why Hasidim is so makhil on the eighth day.
And he's, I'll tell you, the real reason is what you quote, and you're not so happy with. The tish was the most important thing. And they couldn't fit them into the sukkah. So it's more important than the nemen abisul yirah shemayim from the Rebbe, and I'm zafin abisul. As a Litvak, to me, it's terrible. Yatev yatvinin. Yeah, I'm quoting the Rebbe. That's how I heard it from the... But Wertheim, I think, says it too. You quote Wertheim. I think he says it too. Anyone want this? It's fabulous. Okay. This is... My dear student, Normie Gold, I'm dealing with a Pikuach Nefesh issue, and I put two students in touch with you. These are students there, older than I am today. But I put them in touch with each other, so this morning one student said to me, Normie Gold is an ace. I said, I wouldn't have put you in touch with him if he's not an ace. Anyway, Norman Gold sent me an article on Eisenhower, World War II, the DP camps. Very fascinating. Because he came from a background where they never saw a Jew, and if they weren't anti-Semitic, they certainly were not philo-Semitic. And the impact that the camps made upon him, very fascinating. Here, this becomes a whole argument. Are you allowed to rejoice when a murderer is killed? Hate the ISIS leader, but don't rejoice at his death. This is the Algemeine, a tablet. Yes, this is by Ari Lam, Rabbi Nachum Noman Lam's grandson. Yes, it is good to hate al-Baghdadi. So you see, this already is a machloket, and I hate to tell you, we have this same machloket here in Israel. I was livid with rage on Shabbos, spiritual rage. Shai Nitzan, who until now, what was his role? The state prosecutor. He was so involved now with chopping off Netanyahu's head. He graduated Nativ Meir. Doesn't wear a kippah, but they say Shomesh Shabbat. His nephew was a good friend of my grandson in the Technion, now in the army. And he said, it breaks my heart when I have to approve blowing up the house of a terrorist. Got it, Yitzchak? Study the article and you'll see. This is very interesting with Jeffrey Epstein. All the theories going around, this is that it was murder, not suicide. He was your classmate.
He went to Institute. He didn't get his PhD. He left before he got his PhD. He was a brilliant kid.
Brilliant kid. All right. You better not talk to him. You better not talk too loud, because they're going to call you in for questioning. This is a very interesting article from the New York Times. ISIS leader, this Baghdadi, paid his rivals protection money, and they're the ones that informed on him. Very interesting. This is the one with President Trump, where he cited the dog who played a big part in the operation. So they came up with fake news that he pinned a medal on the dog with even a picture. The hatred for Trump is only rivaled by the hatred for Netanyahu. It's mind-boggling what people are like. The American economy is doing better than ever. It's incredible. And instead of giving him credit, you see, it's Israel. What we have today is a dream, and instead of giving credit, they took champagne and cigars. This is very serious, that Boeing knew about the problems in the plane, the new planes, and they flew them, and it wound up killing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. This is frightening. This is about California. Everyone says California. I was there a number of times now. The weather is beautiful, except so now what's going on with the Southern California fires, a whole article in the New York Times, how it affects the collective psychological state of the people. In other words, you can live in a Gan Eden, but there can be earthquakes or they can be fires. So you take Florida,
You see in Florida signs on every road, hurricane exit. So you should get out of the country, out of the area as quickly as possible when a hurricane is coming. So there's no Gan Eden anywhere. So far, 50 years in Yerushalayim, only once that I fall off a ladder. There was an earthquake and I was on a ladder next to my bookcase getting down a book. And boy, I was a pretty 5.7, I think. That was the only time I shivered because of non-military reasons. Catholic bishops agree, anything but a woman. Unbelievable, the whole question ordaining women, rabbis, priests, etc. Okay? And finally, very interesting, from the New York Times, the class of 2000, if you heard Rakepet's talk at the OU, the class of 1960 revisited, this is the class of 2000, a high school class. What became of these kids? The drugs, the overdose, the suicide. Wow. May the Eibush to give us strength. We should go. May Chayel, Chayel, everything's available until we meet again in health and happiness. And I thank everyone for coming and all the guests visiting. Thank you for honoring me. Until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vidanya.